I love Parker, Arizona, because it's where I learned how to wakeboard and wake surf. Thanks, Chris O.
I went out there when I was 16. We drove out there on a whim, and we've been going out there ever since.
I love being able to water ski first thing in the morning and kayak 3 to 4 hours per day.
Parker, my second home since 1989.
Parker has hands down the best sunsets in the world.
Every year we come out, do the two float, vacation there as much as possible.
All about the river, man.
From the shores of the Colorado River on the beautiful Parker Strip, you're listening to the Parker Livecast.
Well, the first thing I have to do is apologize for the smell, and I'll tell you exactly what it is. I was just down in the... Did you smell anything?
Oh, yeah. I made that comment when I came in here for the show.
No, this was after that.
We got five guys in a small room. It's going to smell.
It is going to smell.
Like a locker room.
Sorry.
But I do smell, especially this time.
I just ate.
The reason I do this time especially is because I was just down in at the Tribal Preserve with Melissa. I had a photo shoot down there. And sure. There's so many
is
mosquitoes
the man
down
of KLPZ
there.
KLPZ calendar.
So many mosquitoes down there. And
the
I
man of KLPZ.
Put a lot of that mosquito stuff on my off. Yeah, yes. Thank you. Whatever you call that stuff.
There's DEET in that.
Is there DEET in it?
What did you call me, dude? What is that?
DEET. It's not a racial slur.
Sure.
The Mexican in here is taking offense at this word.
I'm offended.
Would you call me?
Well, we have a full studio, my friends. Welcome to the Parker Livecast, Episode 7. John Tuba is here. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good.
John
Tuba is the guy from Tuba Art Films. If you ever see Tuba Art Films anywhere, you guys actually have that everywhere. I mean, if you
I
look
see stickers
around,
everywhere.
Yeah, people.
That's vandalism, by the way.
Did you vandalize Parker, or was it someone on your behalf that did it?
A little bit of me, a little bit of everyone.
Right.
How often do you go to the Roberto's drive-thru? Because I see like seven stickers there.
Who hasn't stickered that up, dude?
There's a 7-inch thick thing of Tuba Art Films.
I'm pretty sure that's that Brian Schatz guy.
Oh, most likely.
So tell everybody what you do if they don't know.
I just kind of make it up as I go.
But you're
a video production company.
Video production, but you're essentially a filmmaker now.
Yeah, I produce a DVD each year, kind of highlights what I did each season.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of it's just doing individual team videos after each event.
Right, but for people who don't know, like, it's all off-road stuff, right? I mean, it's
90% of it is in off-road racing. Yeah,
yeah. And you were just saying, Jimmy, you saw him out there this weekend with the cameras and stuff?
Yeah, I absolutely saw him, and John's got a niche now. Everybody expects him to be with a model out there, and he does some stuff that nobody else is doing. And
I like those.
Yeah, he definitely had
with some hot girl out there with the thing. Do the people like that? That's what they do.
I haven't had any complaints.
No,
I wouldn't think you would.
I mean, but you didn't always do this, right?
No, yeah, I kind of started out with doing painting, doing a lot of signs and murals for people, and then.
Sorry.
That just kind of died down a little bit, and I was forced to get a real job.
Aren't we all forced to get real jobs?
We all have to get real.
Wife and kid on the way.
There it is.
You painted,
also known as the end
Coyote
of life.
And Roadrunner.
Yeah, I painted Roadrunner, a lot of stuff at Roadrunner. Yeah. I was there all summer. And then
literally that's where the art comes from in the title,
exactly,
right? Because you started as an artist and now you're a filmmaker, which is a form of art, right?
Yeah, the business started out as just tuba art, and then the films just took over everything, and now it's all I do full-time, and supports my whole family. So.
But I can tell that you love it, too. I mean, it's a really... Because when you watch your stuff, it's good, and if you don't like it, you don't produce good stuff.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, it beats, you know, working, you know, like construction or something.
That's
like that.
That's true, yeah.
So, yeah, I love what I'm doing.
I do construction, and I'm offended at that.
Well, so what's a typical day for you now?
Typical day, straight into the office.
You got an office at home?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Office at home, and it starts out with finding music for the next video, get that going, and start putting the puzzle together. And
so you're in editing most of the time?
Editing. Most of the time, it's sitting at a computer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where most of the time is spent.
Yes, that is where the magic happens.
A lot of time behind a computer.
So. But I mean, you know, I can tell you must have a ton of cameras out there for some of the stuff you do, right? How many cameras have you got out on an off-road race?
Yeah, most of the events, we're running about 8 guys. Will be out there now with us.
Wow.
So
8 camera people.
Yeah. And then I'm the one who goes through each camera, labels all the footage, organizes
hours.
It.
Hours.
Hours.
Yes. Hours spent. Yes.
Not,
doing that.
Not much sleep.
And are you one of the guys with a camera? Do you have one yourself?
Yes.
And then GoPros?
Yeah, hooking up tons of GoPros. I usually.
How many do you have?
I'm down to about 8 right now.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, how many have you lost?
that's a good. That's an even better question.
I've probably bought somewhere around 30 or 40. Somewhere in there.
Those aren't cheap. He gets baller status and he gets a helicopter too.
So. Right, right. Well, so you do go up in the chopper?
For a while, there was about 2 years where every event I was in the chopper. And then it starts to get sketchy. You know, when you first get into it, it's like, man, this is awesome. You know, you just keep progressing, and now I'm up in a chopper.
Mm-hmm.
And the fear and the knowledge isn't there yet. So it's just like, oh, this is great. And then you have your first sketchy moment when you're like, you get hit by a rock.
Oh, man.
And it's like,
does that happen?
Yeah, I've got a rock collection at home. Yeah.
So you guys are like, flying next to the race truck, and then it kicks up a rock?
Yeah, we're low enough to where it seems like you can kick the truck.
But, I mean, are those pilots worried about getting that close?
Well,
they're not getting hit by rocks. They don't care.
No.
we're not John Tuba. We don't have to worry about that.
The problem with it is every pilot wants to give you the best flight. They want to be the best guy you've ever flown with.
Right.
So they go past their limit, mm-hmm. you know, because they want to impress you. So that's when it starts to get sketchy.
Have you ever been impressed?
Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever been scared?
I've been scared. Out of yes, I've had to tell the people to land this thing and I'm out of here.
Really? You
know, well, that's. Yeah.
I've had moments when, you know, alarm starts going off, you know, like you're like a missile's coming out, you know, like the wee, 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 wee.
It looks like you're playing Top Gun on NES again.
And the pilot looks at me and says, what is that? And I'm just like,
what do you mean, what is it?
What
are you talking about?
So I'm just like, I don't know what it is, but we're like,
get me the hell out of here.
Up, and we're like,
I don't know, Mr. Pilot, what is that?
Yeah. So come
it's my ringtone. Never mind.
To find out, the chopper was sending out a locator signal saying that we are crashing. So it was putting out
that's the type of thing you want to hear in a helicopter.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, that's the perfect time.
Yeah, safe. Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, and there's just been several things like that. You know, like you land and there's like hydraulic fluid all over the side of the helicopter, and it's like
that's always a good sign too, though.
Why, you know? And the pilot's like, "Oh, that happens all the time. It's the elevation we're in."
Like, are we in Nam? What is this? What's going on? Yeah, we've lost pressure.
After so many continuous sketchy flights, you know, I've kind of backed off of it. I went the route of buying a drone.
Yeah, right.
Which I have now figured those things are really unpredictable. I had
what's more unpredictable, a drone or a helicopter pilot?
I think
it's a toss-up,
the helicopter
right?
pilot. No. Yeah, I've had two drones just take off on their own now.
Whoa, wait, that's Skynet. I don't think that's a drone, dude. I think
that's
Skynet.
HAL 2000.
Yeah, so I'm kind of going to put that to rest now because I just keep dropping money into these things. And
really?
It's just kind of...
So when you say take off, I mean they don't come back?
It's like a dog.
Well, the first
Have you seen my drone?
Yeah, I put up flyers, lost drones.
Have you worn $50?
He got them on a discount. They were the Amazon delivery drones.
That never happened. What John did was he just hijacked one of those Amazon delivery drones and then slapped a Tuba Art sticker on it.
I'll get your iPhone case to you later, Miss Benghazi. But first, race time.
So do you lost them?
Yeah, the first one flew off and it ran right into the casino. luckily, it didn't hit nobody. Just now, this last race weekend, you know, I bought a brand new one, flew it for 10 minutes this weekend, and the thing just started going up, and
just never came back.
I had no control of it, so I had to hit the kill switch on it.
So it just came crashing down.
Boom, total loss.
Oh,
no way.
Again, so.
And what do those usually run?
It's about $1,000 that one.
And your wife knows about this?
What type
do
you buy?
Well, she does now, Josh. Thank you.
Yeah.
What type do you get? DJI Phantom?
Yeah, I got the DJI Phantom.
Right.
The first one was the Phantom 1.
By the way, no one cares except you and me about this particular model.
Yeah.
Now, see, the off-road racing is a thrill anyway. You know, the spectators love it. The people obviously racing are getting the biggest thrill of all, but you're really pretty close to that thrill level, I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, what I love most about shooting is how unpredictable it is. You know, it's kind of like fishing, you know. You just wait and you're waiting for something to bite, you know.
Right.
And
like winning the lottery.
What keeps you
coming
back?
Right?
You know, that's what you know. When I first did it, I spent you know all my money to go to these races, and I'd come back, you know, obviously broke.
Yeah.
But just that
But
know,
I mean,
that addiction of Rush, wanting to, you know, capture those moments, you know, just hooks you. So,
well, you know, as the three of us as fellow filmmakers, when we see your stuff, we're always impressed. It's like we look at the stuff and we're like jealous. How do we do that shot? You know, how was last weekend for you?
It went really good. Super busy. About 15 teams now. You know, wow. That come in to, you know, hire my crew and mm-hmm. make a recap video for
what time
it.
Do you have the guys have to wake up to go set up and everything?
This last one, I think we're up at 5.
Yes, yeah, man.
And are you making separate films for all those clients?
Yes, I am.
So 15 teams are like, we'd need a reel of us
exactly.
doing our thing.
Yep.
And you can do that because you're pretty much covering the whole race, so you can
we shoot
cut in what you
we
want.
Shoot everything anyways. If it moves, we're shooting it because, like I said, you don't know what you're going to get. So
right.
I, you know, I've seen so many things happen that my camera didn't see, you know, so
right.
I'm always shooting everyone. So.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy, you were one of said racers out there this last weekend. How was it for you, the race?
It was a good race. You know, on Saturday, had some problems with the transmission, made it interesting, lost second gear on a second gear course, so mm-hmm. Shipped in from first to third the whole day. It was like mile 12 we lost second gear, so it was literally made some of the
Does
same.
That have an impact on the engine? So like that first gear, when you rev so high to get to third, does that have an impact over the long haul?
You know, it was, you know, I was careful about it, you know, not to over rev, and at that point, I was out of the race on Saturday. So it was just get it to the finish line and get the
right.
finishing points, because the way this one works, you turn around Sunday. So we literally, guys were up till 3 a.m. replacing transmission,
wow.
power steering line, you know, some other odds and ends. And, you know, went out Sunday, put in a couple of good laps, air filter got clogged. And
there's nothing cheap about any of this, is there? Whether you're filming it or racing in it,
no,
I mean, there's just nothing cheap about off-road racing.
No,
they spend a lot of money and... And I think the media is one of the only sites where you can make a little bit of money. So
yeah, well, you're right. You exactly.
Yeah. So
you're one of the guys taking the money that the racers
exactly.
are spending.
Like, I go to a lot of these events and I always
go ahead and hit him, Jimmy.
Have
just
to
hit
take
him.
A moment where, you know, I look out at the crowd in the bleachers. And I'm like, you know, all those people paid to be there.
Right.
And I'm lucky enough to get paid, and I got a way better seat.
Yeah, you know? Right.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
So somehow I figured something out, you know? So
yeah, that's pretty good. I agree with him, though,
because that's why I've started playing double duty on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'll do announcing, MC, radio, and then I'll turn around and get in the truck, and then, you know, and I've done some voiceover work and stuff like that.
Speaking of which, the party at the bar last week went really well. Do you know how many people were there? When I went in and saw you, you're sitting on by yourself in the corner doing your show live. I was listening to it on the stream on the way up to the bar. The rest of the place is just a huge party. Like, people are eating and drinking and having fun.
It was
and it's
a party.
Like, and I couldn't get a parking space, by the way.
I know there was a few hundred there at least. You know, throughout the night, I know I left at midnight and it was still packed. Talked with Chuck and the people from the bar. They said it was packed till 2 a.m. I've pretty much got an open invite to do it again next year.
There you go.
Right on, man.
That
party.
Works.
That does work.
A lot of fun.
Overall, you were pretty happy with the performance of Team Jimmy?
No, it was fun. Did some off-road trivia and, you know, obviously, you know, did my show and some other stuff and played some tuba videos, played some Desert People videos, which is his... Tubas, I don't know if you call it competitor. Curtis is a good guy. I mean,
yeah, no, he's always been.
You want me to take him out?
Yeah.
Kind of no, I mean, I was watching his before I even thought about making one. So
right.
you know, I've always had a lot of respect for him and what he does.
It's a close knit.
You have to say that.
You know,
you don't have to light a kick at Tuba. Come on.
But, no, we're a close knit community. I mean, there's, you know, it's just the way we are. I mean,
right. Yeah, there's no room for. You know, pissing anybody off. So.
Right. Well, that's the fun thing about off-road racing, too, is it is a community, right? So everyone, even though they're competitors, they can usually high-five at the end of it or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's what's great about desert racing, and we say that all along. You know, it's most of the guys, 90% of the guys I compete against in Trophy Truck, you know, we'll run into each other, bang doors, everything else, and, you know, laugh before the race, get in the truck, suit up, and your enemies, and then as soon as you get out, it's, you know, high-fives and let's have beers.
There you go. At the end of this race, you felt happy. You were up on the podium at the end, right?
Yeah, we ended up ninth out of, I don't know how many started. It was between 15 and 20. We ended up ninth. Happy with that after the problems we had Saturday.
Right, absolutely.
I think we probably would have been around fifth if we would have not had the transmission problem.
And I saw a total entrance at like 200 or something for this
190
race.
190-something, I think, close
which
to 200.
Which is crazy. It's definitely growing, right? Huge, huge race.
Casey told me this
for
was
four years, getting really big.
Yeah, Casey told me this is the, I guess they broke the record for the biggest Blue Water Desert Challenge they've ever had.
Great. So, mm-hmm. That's good news. You know,
for the Parker community, it's a good thing. We've got another major event. It's growing year after year. You know, that's always good.
Yeah. Had a pretty good day Monday. I was off because Columbus Day, the guy who did not discover America and who did not discover that the world was round. Anyway, we were off for
that guy.
Yeah, we were off for that on Monday. And so we decided to do some bike riding with Joaquin.
Did we bike ride on Monday?
We did. We did a bike ride in the morning, like 12 miles, and then Josh went down.
Oh, that's right.
That's the one I missed.
That was the day he went down to
Woody's 2 and posted. And
right, after posted. We rode. Yeah.
So he did like a 17-mile ride. I did 12 with you in the morning, and then I did another 5 with you, so I was up to 18. And then that afternoon, we did. It was the perfect Parker day, because we went from the Keys to the Blue Water Beach at the casino on a kayak. How many people? 4 or 5 on a kayak and then 1 on a stand-up paddleboard.
Yeah, Brandy was on the paddleboard.
Did like 6 miles down the river. It was a cool afternoon, man. It's perfect weather right now, you know? I just love this weather with the 90s and whatever. You've been doing a lot of morning bike rides, Joaquin.
Yeah, we did one this morning. Yeah,
he is a major, major bike rider. Like if you were to say...
Oh, when I wake up.
Right. But like
a lot of times I don't wake up.
If you were to tell Joaquin, we're going to ride from Parker to Havasu tomorrow, he'd be like, yeah, I'm down. You know,
let's do this.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I'd try it. I haven't done it in a while since last year.
Well, don't ask me to come with you.
I was going to ask you guys to do the California-Arizona loop tomorrow.
Dude, that took me 6 hours like 2 weeks ago. It's I have to be to work by 8 in the morning.
It's a little much.
Logistically, I can't do it.
Well, what was the last week you tried to do that route, and then what happened?
A couple Sundays ago, I got a flat tire 8 miles from my house on the California side.
Melissa had to come and rescue you?
Yeah, I had to leave my bike at that sheriff's substation / coroner's office.
Why did you have to leave your bike? I don't understand that. Well, couldn't you just take the tires off?
She had the Miata, and so I couldn't bring the bike back. So I left it there. They ended up putting it inside because I went back that night to retrieve it after everything. After the fair and after
everything,
La Paz Park, and I blew a tire on the way home with no bike on it, and then I blew the other tire like a week later. But I almost made it. So the next Tuesday morning, I rode to that point, and then I rode back so I could say I've done the loop.
Right. Just not at one time.
Not at
one time.
But not my fault, you know.
Blame the tire.
See, I could do that loop, but I'd do like a mile a day for 2 weeks, and then claim I did the loop. You know,
I don't think that counts. I don't think you can count that.
Well, that's my point, and I think that Josh's doesn't count. Let's give a shout to Mike in L.A., Mike Collins, who's normally in here with us. Mike, what's happening? We're all here in the studio. How's it going, man?
Oh, nice. Good to hear from you guys.
Yeah, are you? Whereabouts are you tonight?
In beautiful L.A.
Nice.
You hesitated. Does that mean you're at?
You're not in L.A.
Does that mean you're at a strip club or legal Nevada brothel?
No, that means I'm actually behaving myself tonight. I wish I had something more exciting to tell you.
It's Wednesday.
Yeah, right. Hey, so we were going to maybe call Eddie Knox, the drag boat racer, owner of the Problem Child boat. You were telling me some news about what he had been up to last weekend in Havasu, and I thought it was pretty exciting. So we might give him a call here in a second. You want to stick around for that?
Yeah, that sounds great. I'd love to hear Eddie's side of setting the big record.
Yeah, so what did he do? He set a record?
Yeah, he pushed the world's record from, I believe, about 258 up to 262 miles an hour.
Wow.
And, you know, a couple boats have run, well, and I think even he's run faster, but in order to set a record, you have to back that time up within the same event, and that's pretty difficult to do. So maybe he can give us a little more details on that.
Right. So really starting from scratch, that's the whole thing, right? You got to start from standstill and get all the way up as fast as you can in a certain space of time?
Yeah, they race 1,000 feet. They used to race a quarter mile, but they brought it back a little ways, giving them more room to shut down because the speeds were getting so excessive.
Wow.
But, yeah, he runs 1,000 feet in about 3.5 seconds, and from 0 to 260 miles an hour.
That's so crazy. I mean, it's just...
Jeez, I thought my focus was fast.
It is pretty fast, but it's not this fast.
Wow,
hey, Eddie,
amazing.
Are you there?
Yeah, sure am. How
hey,
you doing?
What's happening, man?
Oh, just shut down the shop for the evening and having a little grub and a glass of wine. How about you?
Good deal. Where are you at right now?
We're out here in the Palm Springs area, Southern California.
Oh, there you go. Well, we got Mike over there in L.A., and we're in the studio in Parker. So you were out here at the river last weekend, and I believe you did pretty well.
Yeah, we spent a little bit of time right there at Parker and then went up to Lake Havasu and had a fairly good weekend going on there for a bit till we got to Sunday.
Oh, so something happened Sunday that didn't make you smile?
Oh, yeah, we blew it up pretty good.
Oh, man.
And that's not a cheap problem to solve, is it?
No, not at all. You could probably buy a couple, three of them Ford Focuses for what we
wow.
put out the lake.
Man. No way.
That's an expensive thing.
Take that, Josh.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, because I know you're not kidding either.
No. No, we had a, we love the place, and we're really going to love it, Warren Parker, next year for the opening. And the Havasu people are wonderful. It's a great venue. I mean, I don't think I've ever stood that close to one of these top fuel hydros taking off. And, we had a good Friday and a good Saturday and, you know, set a world record. And
yeah, so let's talk about the world record. What was the old record for a start?
The record was 258 previously in the 1,000-foot mark.
Okay, and what did you do?
We ran 260 to put what we call a leg on the record and then 262 to back it up. And you have to run within 1% of your original run, and you have to do it twice within a given weekend. And then we blew up Sunday morning. We were kind of stoked about the record. Then my buddy David Kirkland, who owns the Spirit of Texas, he goes out and rips off a 265.
Whoa.
Wow.
Jeez.
And kills the record by another 3 miles an hour. And I keep telling him he's popping my balloons at my birthday party or something.
Well, but, I mean, was there something, sorry to interrupt, was there something about the water that was just good conditions or something?
Yeah, it's a fast track. It could be the depth of the water, the altitude, the oxygen that the engine needs, whatever it is, it's fast. And, you know, unfortunately, well, fortunately for me, but the race got blown out, and they weren't able to finish their final round of competition, but you might even have seen it got bumped a little higher.
Wow. Jeez. We're looking at a picture of the boat right now. It almost comes out of the water. I mean, it's almost flying, right?
Oh, yeah. It'll fly out of the water for a good 100 feet before she lands and takes off. You got to pick up 3,300 pounds and unglue it from the water and get it moving.
I got a little YouTube video here. Let me see if this plays.
Here we go.
Is this the race?
This is not this weekend, but this is a couple years ago. It's just a random video that I got. I wanted you to see how fast this thing is.
Jeez. You got a rooster tail on there about 500 feet.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty stupid when you think about it. You strap about 9 or 10,000 horsepower in a surfboard and pull the wick.
What a rush.
Well, and I got a question for you. I know I've heard in the past, I mean, do you guys have a problem with the boats torquing over? So I've actually heard about that. You put so much torque in there that they'll actually flip over.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've backflipped a few of them. I've come close myself. There's been a couple, probably three other ones that actually did do the full Monty.
Mm.
Jeez. It's not impossible. We have such a, you know, these motors are pulled right out of dragsters and funny cars. These are big time deals. And then, like I said, you put in a piece of fiberglass and you're floating out there holding the rope, and then you just stab the throttle and hope for the best.
But I mean, if that happens, I mean, is it okay for the driver?
Yeah, almost always they're at a pretty low rate of speed. For us, they're probably only doing 80 when it backflips. And it dings them up a little
only.
Bit.
Only.
Everybody's survived that one so far.
Right.
Luckily. Hey, so what you're saying is they're not fishing boats. You can't go fishing them.
Well, you could fish off it if you had to.
You really
had to.
Hey, if you were in a bind, you could sure do that. Hey, Mike, were you up there? Did you see it?
Oh, yeah. I was up there in their camp and watched the boat make a few runs, and it's always exciting.
Yeah. Havasu was pretty packed out for it, that stretch right there.
Yeah, but I'm really pumped up to see the boats come, you know, to our hometown in Parker. It'll be quite an event there. I'm sure the water will be great there for maybe setting some records. And plus, you know, just our hometown's cool.
Yeah,
I think it's cooler than Havasu anyway.
Drag races on the Parker Strip. Seriously. That's...
Well, Eddie, you're no stranger to Parker, right?
Oh, yeah. I spend quite a bit of time there. Mike and I are old grade school buddies, and I come to town to visit him quite often. And as a matter of fact, I think I spent about a week there before I headed up to that drag race.
Right. Yeah, it's a cool thing just to be around the river and on the water. Do you ever do, like, just regular things on the water, or does the need for speed dictate the agenda?
Actually, I do more regular things than anything. I absolutely love the Parker Strip. Got a lot of pals there, and you'd be surprised how many racers live from Parker all the way up to Havasu. Retired racers, current racers, cars, boats. So we got a lot of pals down there. And I'm just as happy or more happy going out and going fishing than doing anything else.
Well, so that
not so much in the boat, though, in the racing boat, but...
Yeah, no, that's when we take the pleasure boat out.
There you go.
So do you guys know the dates, Eddie or Mike, on next year's deal?
April 10th weekend, 2015.
Okay.
Boy, you better hang on to your hats, because that is going to be one fast racetrack that time of year.
Well, yeah, yeah, and
that water's like glass on some of those mornings.
Oh, it isn't, especially right there at the is it going to be at the Blue Water Resort?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
directly,
yeah,
in front
it's
of the Blue Water Resort. We will be running upstream. Takes about 1,000 feet to get them going, but it takes 2,000 or 3,000 feet to stop them.
Wow. Right. Yeah, there ain't a brake pedal, right?
No, the brake pedals are in the form of three parachutes.
Jeez.
And you better hope all three work.
Yeah, you have parachutes to stop? All right.
Yeah. You know you're fast.
Yeah.
My Focus doesn't have parachutes.
Yeah. No. Right. Wow. That's crazy. Well, Eddie, congratulations on last weekend, and it was really, really good to talk to you, man.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate being on with you guys, and I hope to see you soon.
Yeah,
good
thanks.
Luck in the next race.
Hey, EK, why don't you plug a couple of your sponsors real quick?
Yeah, please do.
Oh, well, fantastic. Well, if it wasn't for Redline Oil and CP Carrillo and Phoenix Fuel Converter and holy cow, a whole bunch of other ones helping us out, we wouldn't make it out there. Optima Batteries is another great sponsor of ours. And come on out, man. Come see the products work.
And this particular boat is worth seeing in person. It really, really is. Is that the next time that people can see it, or is it going to be out before that?
No, we'll be in Phoenix, Arizona in a couple weeks, Halloween weekend, which is probably the premier facility in the country.
Mm-hmm.
It's man-made grandstands, and it is also fast water, so you'll want to come check it out. Boats from all over the world show up for that one.
Great. Eddie, thanks so much.
All right, you guys take care.
Mike, what's the plan for the weekend?
I think I'm going to be in L.A. still, you know, hitting strip clubs.
Nice.
Perfect. Well, hey, well,
Mike's got the life.
Mike, you do have the life. Well, see, Mike gets to work from wherever he's at. Like, as long as you have a laptop, you're pretty much working, right?
Oh, he's one of those guys.
Yeah.
he's one of those guys.
My laptop is my office, so to speak, and as long as I got internet and cell service, you know, I'm good to go.
Right. Wow. That's the way to do it, man.
I got a trade show next weekend in Las Vegas, so another, you know, tough destination. And then I'll be back in Parker for the Parker 300 boat race, which is a big event.
Yeah.
And also Luke is throwing a food drive Harley run that's always a really good time, a lot of bikes and
oh, yeah,
fun.
The
so I think
the
that's the weekend
run
of the 25th.
Yeah. Right, both those things are coming up. All right, Mike, well, we'll see you back in the studio at some point, maybe a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, maybe next Wednesday. It's good hearing from you guys.
All right, Mike, thanks so much.
Okay, bye.
It's a fast boat.
It's a really fast boat.
You couldn't even see the boat on that video. You couldn't see the boat. You just saw the spray.
Yeah.
You saw the rooster tail. That's all, and you heard that. You know,
I got to tell you, I've been in some fast cars before, and I've been in Mustangs at like 165, 170 miles an hour, and trophy trucks and rally cars, and I have absolutely zero interest in boat racing.
Is that right?
It is.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why is that, Jimmy?
Why is that?
It's suicide.
265 mile per hour, what that guy did on Sunday.
Well, I just,
once you get to a certain speed, that water is just a brick wall. You know, it's not. It's no longer that pliable thing that you think, oh, that's a little safe because you can just fall in, right? Not at those speeds.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, with what we do, and even with, you know, whether it's be stock car racing or whatever, you know, you crash and you have to worry about the crash. You know, in boats, you not only have to worry about the crash, but you have to worry about drowning. So there's the added element. You know,
that's scary. Yeah.
Even I think I'd even rather race airplanes and I don't even know how to fly than a boat, because at least you crash there and you're just dead. You don't have to worry about the drowning part.
Well, you have the falling part where you get to think about it. No, maybe I shouldn't have been in third gear.
Right. A couple of weeks ago, Parker Livecast listeners will remember the donut wrap, the donut doze-off wrap. And we did a poll that week on the Livecast. Would you miss a night of sleep like Josh to camp out overnight for donuts?
Didn't you do that too?
I did it one time.
We did it the first time.
And the first time, I think we all did it. Yeah,
we all did it. So the question, would you miss a night of sleep to camp out overnight for donuts? The whole idea is Stark's Donuts is, you know, closed all summer and generally regarded as being pretty good donuts. And so,
pretty good, John.
The best. The best.
And so Josh is like, hey, I'm going to camp out overnight for
him. So I can get the first donut. It's totally legitimate.
Totally legitimate. Jimmy, you shook your head. You say no.
I just laugh. The whole thing about them. So I went there today. It's still, what are we, a week and a half?
A week and a half out.
And they're still by 8 o'clock in the morning.
They're gone.
Sold still
out.
Sold out,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, they're right. Gone.
It's just ridiculous.
It's so long.
You're like, all I want is a long john. Seriously. Like, can you just save me one? I don't want to get up at 5 in the morning so I can get a donut.
Well, the audience was split on this.
Oh, wow. Okay.
51.85% of the audience said, I would only get out of bed if my house was burning. And the other 48.15% said, for the right donuts.
There you go.
For the right donuts.
You know how many times it took me to go on there and check that one to make it closer to...
So,
Josh was logging on from different computers.
I'm going to the public library. For the right donut, click.
So half of Parker thinks you're dumb, basically, is what they're saying.
Oh, yeah.
That's what that comes down to.
But there's enough of us to stage an uprising that like the donuts.
That is true. We also did a live cast a couple of weeks ago where we prank called a pizza place in Parker called La Piazza. It was called Topless Pizza with Nick DeMarco. Nick DeMarco calling Nick Topless DeMarco. Pizza. And we also talked about sugar gliders and ice making machines, and we had naked weather that week. And so we asked, what's better, sugar gliders, ice making and bagging refrigerators, that prank call, or naked weather? 0% and 0% for the sugar gliders and the ice machines. Nobody cared about that. But I will tell you, 28.57% of the audience loved naked weather.
Okay.
And 71.43% loved the prank call with Anthony at La Piazza, where we totally told him that we were going to take over and do a whole thing in Dairy Queen where we remake it into a topless pizza joint and put a bunch of money in. Redondo Beach money.
Redondo Beach.
Into the thing and totally take all his business. And he was the nicest guy in the world.
He was so nice.
And someone says in response, Anthony was the nicest guy ever. Anthony's still plugging away. Darn good pizza. That's what someone says. I have some other things. You want to hear some other feedback?
Yeah.
So about the China Garden thing, China Garden missed already. A lot of people commented on that, as we know. Someone says here, our food choices in Parker are pretty much down to fast food, Mexican, or
I like that.
Or Mexican.
I really like that.
But I refute this because we have two sponsors now on Parker Live, Crossroads and Bobby D's. They serve all kinds of amazing food, and I just had a chicken fettuccine alfredo.
They need to start serving Mexican food there.
That's on the menu because of me, I might add.
Is that right?
Really?
Yes, that is.
Oh,
tell me about that. So you like that?
Yeah, and my wife used to manage both restaurants, and so each time I'd go in there, I'd just... You know, I'd say, you know, it sure would be nice to have some fettuccine alfredo on this. And then they ended up just making it, and then it got put on the menu.
Wow. So maybe I need to get my wife to start working at those restaurants and managing them, then I can start having to make some enchiladas or something.
Yeah. I've also recommended the chili cheese fry burrito, but that is yet to be put on.
Wow.
Fry burrito.
I'd try that.
It's awesome.
Lonnie's a big supporter of everything we do. The other thing that they have that's really good at Bobby D's is the Italian wedding soup. Love that, and they make it all fresh. And the other thing that she was telling me is they slow cook the corned beef at Crossroads for the Reuben and bring it up there to Bobby D's. And
I used to work at Crossroads.
Did you really?
Probably in 2007, 2008. While I was working at CRA, I was also
dishwasher
at Crossroads.
No way.
And Bob, the spaghetti he would make, like every Thursday or something. Homemade spaghetti. Yes. Oh, it was
very
so good.
Spaghetti.
I remember every Wednesday or Thursday, whatever it was, I was like, I'm going to work, and I'm going to get me a big old plate of spaghetti.
It's delicious.
Bob would make it amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of food, we have a listener asking, how did Josh lose the weight? So apparently we must have mentioned that you've lost a lot of weight, or we must have mentioned that you're like working out a lot or whatever, and people have probably seen photos and stuff by now. How did you lose the weight, Joshua Savino? Over to you.
Well, you put the fork down, fatty.
Okay.
Which is what I had to tell myself. I stopped eating like horrible stuff. Like I was eating a lot of, you saw, dude, when I would eat, I mean, I would throw it down.
Although I did challenge you one day to an eat-off contest. And
you actually beat me.
Thank you.
Yeah, Joaquin beat me.
I'm not sure that's anything to be proud of.
Oh, it is. He screwed up, though, because he started with the soda. Yeah. Never, ever start with the soda.
Yeah.
Never start with the soda.
Well, that's one thing. Speaking of soda, I've pretty much discontinued drinking soda. And if I do want a soda because of the, you know, like the flavor, I'll get a diet.
Dude. Right.
And I rarely finish that. But food, you give up on that. Not completely, obviously. But eating the bad stuff, dude. Try to eat more fruit.
Well,
more
kudos
veggies.
To you, dude. Because
70 pounds.
Yeah, 70 pounds. There you go. Kudos to our buddy Josh for
exercise too, by the way.
Losing all the weight. It is a little. I have to say it is a little sickening how much I'm hearing how good Josh is looking lately. It's a little ridiculous.
I'm getting tired of it too.
Yeah, no one ever says to me, you know, like, you know, John, you've always had such self-control. No one's ever said that. It's like I had to be out of control and
then
maybe
what you need to do is just get really fat,
right?
And then just lose it all at one time, then boom. And then
exactly. They'll be like, John, you're looking horrible. You're like, finally, some attention. Thank you. I thought no one would recognize this jiggly piggly.
And then just people, lots of people just liking the live cast. I'll read you a couple of comments. Fun, I enjoyed it. I love this, guys. You are so awesome. Well, of course, we know that. And finally, just downloaded the app and subscribed. I don't know what app they downloaded, but some podcast app. My son and myself are listening as I type, looking forward to many more hilarious shows.
Oh, thank you.
So there you go. All right, Parker Leica. Is there anything else we need to add? We should do plugs. If people want to buy your stuff, what do they do and where do they go?
They go to tubartfilms.com, and I've got a nice selection of DVDs on there that you can get.
Right.
All kinds of stuff on there.
Yeah. So. Jimmy Beaver?
Go to downanddirtyshow.com, and every Monday we air live, and hopefully we're going to have Jeremy McGrath, King of Supercross, on next Monday. So
perfect.
Should be fun.
Joaquin Vences is in like a million bands.
JoaquinVences.com, where you can download everything Joaquin.
Everything
you can download
Joaquin.
Wallpapers. Pictures of me. There's an app at the App Store.
Is there a merchandise store?
There's a merch too. You get pictures with my face on it.
Okay.
I mean, who doesn't want that for
on
Christmas?
On pillowcases?
On pillow, everything. We can put it on anything. What do you want it on? We'll put it on. Doesn't matter. Give us money and we'll find a way to put stuff on.
Your coffee mug?
That's good.
No, yeah, I don't.
Are you still playing in any bands or what's
going
on?
I'm in like 6 million bands right now. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you because Joaquin would never tell you, but he's traveling now to shows like in Mexicali.
Yeah, we're playing, I think Kansas City, I think next year, with my brother's band.
Right.
Do that.
If you want any.
Don't be too big of a hurry to get to Kansas City.
Well, we're going to drive there, so I don't
know.
That's going to be fun.
That's never crazy.
I don't even think they let Mexicans in Kansas City.
So that's they let them out.
They just won't let you in.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
If you want any audio mix, he's your guy.
Just don't expect it on time.
He'll
do it. He'll do a good job, though.
You know, when I first started editing, I came to Joaquin first, and then hard to get a hold of that guy.
Yeah, he's a hard guy.
So then I went and I bought my own stuff, and then I kind of started my own.
That's the
my
kind
whole
of friend
career.
I am.
So you
can thank him.
Thank you, Joaquin.
See,
thank you.
It made
I
me go
did
out
it
on
to
my
help
own.
John out.
This is the
sure enough. Now it's John. You know,
and this
everybody
is the
knows
kind,
John.
This is the kind of businessman that you are.
This is why I excel.
It's called tough love entrepreneurship. That's what it is.
Josh Savino.
Well, you know, of course, part of what I do with tourism. Mm-hmm. I promote the activities coming up. So October 18th, Dream Show 2014 featuring Paul Wall and Mike Jones. It's live in the Blue Water Amphitheater. Gates open at 7, $15 pre-sale, $25 day of show. Of course, there's also a custom car show and hip-hop contest from 11 to 4.
That.
And that's free to public. Mm-hmm. So we can get our hip-hop on. Maybe I'll take the Donut Doze Off rap on there.
Yeah, you should do that.
And then finally, October 24th, 25th, Michael was plugging this, as was Eddie on the phone. Parker Enduro 336, presented by the NRKA Needles River K Association.
Mm-hmm.
100 plus mile an hour boats racing down the Parker Strip from the Bluewater Casino up to Pirate's Den and back. It's going to be a great weekend of boat racing. The classic Enduro coming back.
Also,
so,
don't forget the following weekend after that. I know they're taking entries and sponsors, the Home Run Derby.
Yes.
The Parker Police Department puts it on. It's their biggest fundraiser of the year. It's all for toys for the, you know, needy children of the community for the holidays. So lots of fun. We did it last year. I know Josh is doing it again this year. I'm doing it this year.
My brother's coming down this year.
Yeah, his brother's coming down. Yep. So Parker PD, just go into the front office there. You can get registered. And it's a good time, man, and lots of good prizes. So
good deal.
Awesome. It's a lot of stuff, as always, in Parker.
It is. And you know, it's almost too much stuff at this time of year that we can't get through it all, and we should just go a week at a time. When is that? That's 2 weeks' time?
Yeah.
What else is coming up that weekend? There's something else I was just thinking about for 2 weeks from now.
Halloween.
Yeah, it's Halloween. Halloween. Thank you, John, for that. Friday. And
homecoming.
Then,
yes. Homecoming, right.
Homecoming is Halloween night for the first time like ever in Parker.
By the way, Parker Bronx doing really well this year.
Yeah. 6-1 now?
Maybe we got to get Justin in here.
That'd
be good.
Yeah,
we need to get him one of these. Yeah, get the coach. And
that'd be it. Good. Maybe homecoming week we could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect, perfect, perfect.
Nothing like planning the show on the air. Welcome to the production meeting.
Now, before we go, does anybody here want to get naked for naked weather?
No. Well, John, I think Joaquin should.
Yeah. we should get John to get one of his models to come in here is what we need to do.
Yeah, John. It's right. Good.
Tuba, you do need to provide us with some models for naked weather.
At least something.
That's
I'll
all.
Leave my phone here. You can go through the contact.
Perfect. So in lieu of naked weather, let me do unnaked weather. 90 degrees on Friday, Saturday 92, Sunday 94. Thank you guys for being here. Tuba, really good to see you, my friend. Joaquin, thank you for coming in. And we'll be back next week with another edition of the Parker Livecast. Josh, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Later.
Later.